Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:57 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 31st, and happy Halloween. It's the first day in at least 6 months that it's rained here in Los Angeles, and certainly it's not raining in the stock markets. And I think where we certainly have something to talk about is in Bitcoin. It was up an additional $240 today. It is clearing the $6,000 level, and a point that I've made in previous commentaries is that I do believe that the best way to look at least for the moment, is on a logarithmic scale basis. Because when we look at the log scale, then what we're presented with is percentage moves. And because so far Bitcoin is largely cash dependent, there isn't a great deal of leverage in it. And that the majority of people that are investing are doing so for capital appreciation on an unleveraged basis. And when we look at it on a log scale basis, then that's exactly the kind of return that the people who are investing in Bitcoin are looking for. So it gives us a graphic representation of how those people are reacting to this market. But what we also have now is an acceleration of the efforts underway to deliver futures and options markets for cryptocurrencies, and most particularly for the Bitcoin market. So then if once those are released and we see volume increasing in them, well then that will be the time when more people will be looking at the arithmetic scale. But in the meantime, we can see that for much of the last year, Bitcoin has posted this staircase step sequence uptrend, and it has been prone to really quite sharp pullbacks. But by and large, those pullbacks have found support in the region of the upper side of the underlying range. And if that remains the case, then the next area of potential support should be somewhere around 5,000. And as long as that $5,000 area is holding, we can give the benefit of the doubt to additional upside. Now, if we also look at what the consistencies have been, is that when these ranges are resolved on the upside, then the price tends to accelerate away from the range, and it is continuing to advance here. So there is the potential that it is going to go higher from here, and it could go up in excess of $1,000 from here and still be within the confines of what is a reasonably consistent advance, based on what it has done previously. There isn't much point in comparing the activity that we're seeing in the Bitcoin market to anything else at the current point. But we do have an example of another market that was largely cash based, and then had the evolution of a leverage aspect to it, and that is the Chinese A shares. Because back in 2014 and 2015, there were two important events occurred in China. One was that you had the opening up and speculation about the opening up of the Hong Kong-Shanghai Connect, and then you had the introduction of options. And for the first time, what options did was afford Chinese investors the opportunity to be able to participate in the stock market on a leveraged basis, and they took to it with alacrity, and the index went from just over 3,000 in early 2015 to 5,500, all based on massive enthusiasm for leverage, which then got resulted in incredibly sharp pullbacks. And what we have the potential for in Bitcoin is something similar, that there are a lot of people out there who would be very happy to buy Bitcoin on leverage rather than to use their own hard-earned capital. But then there is another point, that there are a lot of institutional investors would like to be able to gain access to the market, and they'd like to be able to hedge their exposure. They'd like to be able to use cryptocurrencies as an alternative asset and hedge some of their exposure in other asset classes. And then, of course, there are the strategies that tend to do well in a volatile environment, which haven't been making any money at all for the last few years because volatility has been so very low. Well, With the advent of futures and options trading in cryptocurrencies, then those could very easily be transported over to the Bitcoin market. The VIX index remains really quite inert, and it did pop on the upside last week, but has come right back down, and it is now consolidating around this 10 level. What is particularly interesting right now is that there is a progression of higher reaction lows from October up until right now. And what that suggests is that on average, volatility is starting to turn around, so that we could have a somewhat, or at least another advance in volatility similar to what we saw in August. But the downtrend on a medium-term basis remains intact. But what we have seen, for example, in the very short term has been some rotation. The Dow Jones has been going sideways for the last 5 or 6 sessions, whereas the Nasdaq has broken out. And that would suggest that we have had some rotation in this market, and the Nasdaq is being led higher by Facebook, which has broken up and away out of this most recent one of its ranges. The pace of the advance is picking up. It is now somewhat more overextended relative to the trend mean than it has been for any time really in the last couple of years, but it's still a benign environment, which is predicated on what has been really quite a consistent trend since the middle of 2013. And this is going to be a news-laden week, because we have the UK most likely going to raise interest rates, and that has been already priced into the bond market. But what I find particularly interesting is in the currency markets, that the pound has now rallied back up to test the region of the trend mean, and it had a pretty profound decline from those highs back in 2015. Then we had that failed downside break below 110 in a few months ago, and then it rallied pretty impressively back to close the overextension relative to the trend mean. Well, if it can sustain a move above the trend mean, we would have to begin to give credence to the view that we're back in a demand-dominated environment for the pound. So I think the market will be looking rather closely at what it is that the Bank of England is going to say. By and large, the UK economy is in a pretty good stead, and certainly the stock market has benefited from the weakness of the pound. I think the AIM 100 index of small caps is a reasonable barometer of what the domestic economy is doing, and it continues to hold a progression of higher reaction lows. The fact that the pace of the advance has moderated, but that it continues to push on to new recovery highs, is really quite a bullish phenomenon. And I also think that this chart of delinquencies is rather interesting. These are 90-day delinquencies on credit card debt in the UK, and they moved to a new low in September. So certainly there has been a greater leverage taken on in the consumer economy in the UK, that personal loans have increased, but by the same token, the number of mortgages outstanding has actually decreased, and that's potentially as a result of really rather expensive property prices, and the fact that there is a very wide gap between the haves and the have-nots. So a lot of people are renting rather than buying. But that would suggest then that if that is indeed the case, credit card debt is going to be a lead indicator for any potential problem in the market, and so far it's not signaling any problem at all. And what that would suggest is that the Bank of England is probably not going to upset the apple cart by raising interest rates, and they may have room to do so again at some point next year. But nonetheless, they're going to be very cautious, and they're probably not going to engage in the same pace of advances that, for example, the Federal Reserve is doing. And then when we look at Japan, Japan is one of the few countries that is raising interest, excuse me, that is both raising the amount of money that they're printing, and also spending more on the fiscal front. and the Nikkei is flirting with this 22,000 level. It's up in the futures market above it, and this is, I think, a market where we really do need to look at the long-term charts. And when we look at it going all the way back to the late 1980s, we can see that 20,000 has been a psychological area of resistance for more than 20 years, and that it has now cleared it, and that is now likely to represent an area of support on any future pullback. The potential here is that Japan is back in a bull market that is not short-term in nature, but rather that we are seeing the beginning of what is potentially a secular bull market in Japan that could see it going back up towards those peaks within the next 5 or 6 years that haven't been seen since 1989. And that is, in fact, if the breakout holds, and this is a new medium to secular bull market, that's exactly what we would anticipate the stock market to do, at least in nominal terms. But it is also worth considering that the reason that it can do that in nominal terms is because of inflation, and that it is beginning to rear its head once more, that the poster child for secular stagnation is now pursuing outright inflation, and that it could well achieve that. When we look at the yen, it is trading here around 113, and it really does need to sustain, or the dollar at least needs to sustain, a move above 115 to confirm a return to demand dominance. When we look at the dollar index, it had failed to sustain the breakdown to new lows below 92, and it has continued to close its overextension relative to the trend mean. And now is the big question. Is it going to sustain a move above the trend mean, or is it going to fail at these levels? This is the sort of the do or die moment for the dollar in here at the present moment. Then, when we look at the Indian market, which where we've had this recapitalization of the state-owned banks, the Nifty has paused over the last four sessions, but as long as it is holding the move above 10,000, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I think when we look on the weekly chart, we can see that there is the potential for some pause and consolidation here, and I think that by and large that is a realistic possibility that we might get some pause and consolidation. The fact that emerging markets have done so very well over the months of August, September, suggests that we might be in for some pause in consolidation in, for example, Indonesia. We're already getting it in places like Thailand, that had pulled back and then is back testing its high, but it does look like we're going to get some ranging, that this was an important breakout, and that as long as it is holding the move above 1600, then we give the medium term upside the benefit of the doubt. And I think that that is by and large the scenario for a lot of these emerging markets. We're in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and we should be seeing just about all markets doing better. And even Europe, which has been a serial underperformer, has sustained this breakout to new recovery highs, and it is being led higher by Germany. The fact that the Catalonian independence movement is petering out has been beneficial for Spain, and it is now ready to break this medium-term downtrend, and that also suggests that the European project is not going to just simply disappear, that it is being very well supported by the central bank, and they are still likely to be among the last central banks to raise interest rates. And that, I think, also suggests that the euro is potentially a little bit too strong, even at these levels. When we look at the commodity complex, Codelco today in that's Chile's state copper producer, was predicting that the LME futures price could get up back up towards 10,000, that that electric cars require 8 times more copper than lithium. And obviously there is a lot more global supply of copper, but this continues to represent a recovery scenario. So I think that is an important characteristic, and please excuse my phone for ringing. Then when we look at the oil market, then it has continued to hold this move above 60, and it is in fact improving upon it. And that is also in line with the potential here for a further recovery, that it had spent a good share of time ranging below $60, and now it has broken above it. So there is potential here for additional upside, at least in the period of time it takes for unconventional suppliers to ramp up production, which could be a few months. At that point, then we're going to see prices encounter a headwind. But in the meantime, there is potential here for additional upside. And gold prices were weaker in here today, and down $5, coming back towards this $1,270 area. But for a commodity that is characteristically quite volatile, it hasn't really done much of anything. And the most important fact is that it has continued to hold this $1,250 area. And as long as it is doing that, then I think the potential is that this is a consolidation in the region of the trend mean. But it really is for the bulls to prove that this is, in fact, a support building phase, and that gold has the potential to advance further from here. Perhaps the best performing commodity right now is lumber, and it was a limit up again in here today, and it is pulling away in dynamic fashion from the $400 area. This represents not only I think enthusiasm about the extent of rebuilding that's going to be required after the hurricanes, but also what might come out of NAFTA negotiations. And it is certainly looking a little bit overbought in the short term, but it is continuing to move limit up. A clear downward dynamic would be required to check momentum. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and wish all the best to all of you.